This is Talking Business. I'm joined now by Damien Kernahan, who's the founder and CEO of a business called Proto Partners. G'day, Damien.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Proto Partners is a, it's a customer service consultancy. Is that a fair description?
Yeah, we call it a service design, experience design consultancy, but I think a lot of people think of it as customer service. It's probably a little bit broader than that, but it certainly puts it in a bucket for people to get their heads around.
You started in 2008, which just before the GFC, and according to the about page of your website, after the GFC or during it, nobody wanted to talk to you. So you had to, you had to change. Tell us about what happened there.
Yeah, timing-wise, we sort of started, opened up in May 2008. And at the time, we actually opened up as a product innovation company. We had a business partner at the time, and we got Qantas on board and Schweppes. But then the GFC happened, and then, as you can imagine, six-month-old company, innovation, it was the last thing that people wanted to talk to us about. So, gee whiz, I think it was probably about 2 or 3 months later. I came back from after Christmas in January 2009 and had to have a really rethink. I think in today's term, everyone says they pivot, but basically we just changed direction. And what we realised is that most of the product innovation happened in the Northern Hemisphere and very little really happens of a significance in the Southern Hemisphere.
But that's not good. We should be doing product innovation here, surely.
Well, I think, yes, absolutely. I think people talk a lot about product innovation, but the reality is that over 70, 75% of our GDP is actually service-based. So that's why we changed direction when we realised that, you know, services, whether it be banking, insurance, telco, the majority of business now that products, the people who call products, they're actually services or experiences. So we decided to change direction and focused on that from then on.
What about your own background? What, before we get on to what happened after January 2009, what did you do before that?
I did a business degree, so I did a Bachelor of Business. I worked for National Foods and started working on developing the Pura milk brand around the country, you know, many years ago. So I worked there for 5 years. I moved on to Foster's and worked at Carlton United Breweries, which was phenomenal. And then I moved overseas with my wife and I worked for Diageo, which is a sort of a global drinks brand. I did that for 5 years. And then I came back and moved back to Australia and worked for Young Rubicam Advertising and worked in marketing services for 3 years. And I'd always had an itch or a desire to open my own business, and the time and opportunity came, and I took it, and then that's when I launched Proto.
So you're a customer, or you know, you design customer experience and so on. So I imagine you're run off your feet because all the companies now talk about customer focus.
Everyone. Everyone's talking about
customers. Maybe that's rubbish and they don't actually mean it.
Well, listen, there's no doubt things are changing. When we opened up in 2008, 2009, everyone was sort of talking about it, but there was a lot of people espousing it. Nobody was really enacting or living it. It's very, very different now. Everyone is talking about customer experience, customer focus, customer centricity, and, the phone ring much more regularly now. And I think people and organisations, CEOs, from top to bottom, they're actually starting to believe it. They believe that focusing on doing the right thing by their customers will ensure that their customers stay with them longer, spend more money, buy more products and services, and then it will be good for both parties. It'll be good for the organisation because they'll have customers for a lot longer, they'll spend more money with them, and it'll be good for customers because things will be easier or more useful or more enjoyable to use.
Let's stay with this for a bit. Why did it take so long?
Well, I think after we came out by 2009, 2010, organisations, if you look at the profitability of lots of, you know, of Australian larger organisations, banks, telcos, they're all making a lot of money. And as you would know, the desire for the big consultancies to come in and actually extract every efficiency out of organisations was still running really hot. And so cost cutting and squeezing every last dollar they could out took them a long, long way. And I think over the last couple of years, they've squeezed out as much as they can, they've saved as much as they can, and they're looking for new growth paths and focusing on customers, which sounds really strange. Like the only reason, you know, Peter Drucker said for years, for, you know, decades and decades ago, that organisations exist is to focus on the customers. That's the only reason they are there. And it sounds really obvious, but I think our experience that organisations are only starting to truly understand that focusing on doing the right thing by your customers will yield greater profits and revenue for them over the medium to longer term.
So apparently you've got a platform that sort of in some way automates it. Can you explain how that works, or is that not the case?
I'm not sure it's a – no, I mean, I don't think we're a platform. There are lots of organisations out there who have, you know, customer experience management platforms which send out, you know, surveys like Net Promoter Score or customer satisfaction. We don't so much do that. I mean, that's sort of – let's call it big data, I suppose. We work in the small data end, and it's spending time with real people, so talking to customers, to real people – doing, whether we're doing customer interviews, going out and watching them actually use the product, sitting in their home and observing them as they actually try to sign onto a website or, you know, pay a bill, and work out what it is, why it isn't actually working. Most organisations have this sense that it's everything works perfectly for customers, and that is so far from the truth. When you actually get out there and start watching them, observing and listening, and it's so much harder for people to actually get things done. And that's where we come in. There's a, you know, organisations make these very big promises. You can do it faster, quicker, easier, cheaper. They spend, and we say, you know, brand is the promise you make, customer experience is the promise you keep. And I suppose our job is to actually work with organisations to shine a mirror to what's really happening for their customers, show them the frustration or the friction that their customers are enduring, and help them fix that and make it easier for customers to get whatever they want done.
You sounded a bit dismissive of Net Promoter Score a minute ago.
I mean, no.
Everyone swears by that now.
No, we're big fans of Net Promoter Score, and for us, no, I'm not. We're big fans. What we find fantastic about it is it's not so much the score. I think the score is useful. For us, we ask and if you're familiar with Net Promoter Score, you'll ask three simple questions. But the fourth we ask is, would you be open to a follow-up phone call, or can we come and talk to you? And for that, we can spend 20 to 45 minutes talking to customers. And from that, you move from what the problem is, which a Net Promoter Score will give you, to why. Why is it a problem? Why is it concerning you? Why does it cause you friction or frustration? Why is it
might be worth, if I can interrupt, it might be worth just explaining to the listener what Net Promoter Score is and how it works.
Yeah, sure. There's three simple questions. The first is, would you recommend service X to a friend or colleague? And the reason they use refer to a friend or colleague is, you know, you wouldn't refer something to a friend or colleague that you didn't like. And so it's from 0 to 10 is the score. And if you score a 9 or 10, you're called a promoter. If you score a 7 or 8, you're called a fence sitter or passive. And if you score 0 to 6, you're called a detractor. And I won't go into the mechanics of it, but you subtract the negatives from the positives and you end up with a Net Promoter Score. The second question is, you know, why did you score this way? So that gives you the diagnosis on why, what is a problem, or what's working for you. And the third question generally is, you know, what could we do to improve this score? So people give you ideas. And as I said, the fourth question we add is, you know, can we have a follow-up phone call and really understand? And I think that's where we truly add value. We speak to lots of organisations who are running Net Promoter Score, and they're inundated with data and information. The challenge is they actually don't know what to do with it. They actually don't know how to prioritise it, or what they need to focus on first. And so just by simply talking to people and listening to them and understanding why it's a problem, we can then help them with that prioritisation and say, okay, what do we work on first? And that's when you get into the quick wins, rather than you don't have to take, you know, weeks or months. It can take days or weeks.
Well, that'd be laborious. You must be expensive.
Well, not certainly compared to the big consultants.
I know, you're going to tell me you're a bargain.
Well, I think we are. Yeah, I mean, we're a small firm. We're 10 to 15 people. So it's less expensive than you actually think. I mean, when you actually do a few surveys, go out and talk to people and then redesign it, these types of things can take between, you know, a short project could be 6 or 8 weeks, or a longer one could be 12 to 14 weeks. So within a quarter, organisations can have the answers to what isn't working for them and tangible solutions on what they actually need to do next.
And in general, what would you say Australia's companies' performance on dealing with their customers is? Would you give Australia's, I don't know, leading companies a Net Promoter Score yourself? What would it
well,
be?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of companies doing the metrics on there. There's some benchmarks. I mean, the banks are around zero. The telcos are probably around minus, can be like in the minus 10 to zero as well. You have other organisations who are, and there's quite often smaller startups or more smaller, more nimble organisations who start out as more customer-centric, can be up in 50 and 60. Now, it's not to say there might be pockets of, you know, those big banks who might be scoring higher, but if you take it across the whole board, they've still got a way to go. Having said that, you've actually got to look at your NPS within the category you operate in. But you can see the banks have spent a lot of money and a lot of people working on this over a large amount of years, but they've still got a way to go, as do the telcos.
Is it fair to say that the bigger the bank, the lower the net promoter score?
I don't have the data on it, but my experience on working with some of them with that is probably more than likely the case, yeah.
Guys, as part of this month's program on Qantas Talking Business, I interviewed the CEO of a little Tasmanian bank called MyState, and he says his net promoter score is 42 by memory. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exceptional. And I'm sure if you went in and listened to what their customers are saying, they'd be far more responsive, far more relevant, and it would be easier to do business with them. I think some of the big banks suffer like telcos with big legacy systems. So I'm not excusing them, but They've got some difficulty to get over.
Oh, perhaps I should talk to you.
That's for sure.
I've been talking to Damien Kernahan, who's the founder and CEO of a business called Proto Partners. Thanks very much, Damien.
Thanks, Alan.